Good morning, everyone. I can't believe Christmas Eve is tomorrow. There was a second grade boy named Kyle, and in his classroom, the teacher asked them to draw and color a picture of their favorite Bible story. And Kyle's picture puzzled the teacher. He had drawn a picture of a big airplane with four people on board. So his teacher asked him what story this was meant to represent, and he replied, "The flight into Egypt." Pointing at each of the figures, the four people on the plane, the teacher said, "This must be Mary, this must be Joseph, and this must be baby Jesus. Who's the fourth person?" And he said, "Oh, that's Pontius the pilot." On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we focus today on the Blessed Virgin Mary. A person might validly ask us, why is Mary so important? Why do we honor her? In an Advent homily, Pope Benedict gave a reflection on the importance of Mary. He said that when Christ was born, every creature offered some sign of gratitude. The angels offered a hymn. The heavens offered a star. The magi offered their gifts. The shepherds, admiration. The earth offered up a cave. But ask the Holy Father, what about the human race? What do we have to offer God? The Holy Father answered simply, what we have to offer is the Virgin Mary herself. She is the greatest boast of the human race. She shows what humanity is capable of. For sure, you and I suffer from an inner division called original sin, and we have many personal failings. But when we look at the Virgin Mother, we recognize the true capacity of our human nature. In Mary, we see purity of heart. Purity. A heart that desires only one thing. This fascinates most people when we encounter them. Most of us are torn in so many directions that when we meet a single-hearted person, it stops us in our tracks. People like Blessed Teresa of Calcutta, or people like Pope John Paul the Great, had that effect. They had a purity of heart, not equal to, but modeled after the Blessed Virgin Mary. A number of years ago, the American bishops introduced a slightly updated version of our lectionary. Most of us have probably not noticed many great differences. However, one verse may have caught your attention. In the previous version, the angel's greeting to Mary was translated as, "Rejoice, O highly favored daughter." The current lectionary translates that verse more literally, "Hail, full of grace." Of course, we are familiar with those words. As Catholics, we pray them whenever we pray the Hail Mary. Many of us have said them all our lives, but perhaps we haven't much idea of what they actually represent. A convert helped me to appreciate them. Just like an immigrant can see aspects of a nation which a native takes for granted, so a convert to the Catholic Church can help us cradle Catholics to understand our faith. Tim Staples, a Baptist minister who converted to Catholicism, did that for me. I'd also recommend you look at Scott Hahn's book, Hail Holy Queen. However, Tim Staples has a beautiful series of tapes on the Blessed Virgin Mary, and as only an evangelical Christian can do effectively, he devotes almost an entire lecture to a single word, hail. The Greek word for hail. He says, while it could be an ordinary greeting, it often indicated solemnity or an exalted status, as in the famous salute to the emperor, "Hail Caesar." Tim points out that the word occurs only five other times in the Gospels. Once when Judas greets Jesus in the garden, "Hail Master," and four times when the soldiers dressed Christ as a king and used it as part of their mockery, "Hail, King of the Jews." But Gabriel, the angel, was not mocking the maiden of Nazareth. Rather, he is recognizing her exalted status. This is quite astonishing when you think about it. In the order of creation, angels are as superior to us as perhaps we are to dogs. And I love my dog, but I would never greet her, "Hail, Hope." Yet the angel does greet Mary in that manner, "Hail, Mary, full of grace." Mary, of course, had done nothing to personally merit such a greeting, but something would be done to her if she accepted. Although she had pledged herself to virginity, the power of the Most High would overshadow her, and the child conceived would be the Son of God. 2,000 years later, we are still grappling with what this event means. Luke gives us some help. He consciously compares the Virgin Mary to the Ark of the Covenant, to the Ark of God. Mary is referred to by our early church fathers as the new Ark of the Covenant. In the old Ark of the Covenant, this sort of gold box held three things: the Ten Commandments, Jesus is the lawgiver; the bread of the manna from the desert, Jesus is the bread of life; and the staff of Aaron, the high priest, Jesus is the great and eternal high priest. And so Mary, like the ark, contains all these things in her womb. The ark is made of pure gold. Mary is without sin, showing purity. And also the ark was so holy that nothing could touch it unless it was without sin. And when somebody did touch it who was sinful, they immediately died. And so Mary is without sin. She conceived and carried Jesus to birth. Allow me now to mention three other parallels between the visitation we have heard in today's gospel with the ascent of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. As the Ark is brought to Jerusalem, King David is so overcome with awe that he says, "How can the Ark of the Lord come to me?" Just as Elizabeth said to the Blessed Mother. The Ark remains 3 months in the hill country near Jerusalem, bringing great blessing to the house of Obed-Edom. Mary, the new Ark, remains 3 months in the hill country of Jerusalem with Elizabeth. And finally, King David leaps for joy, dancing before the Ark as it is brought to Jerusalem. Likewise, Elizabeth says to Mary, "Who am I that the mother of the Lord shall come to me?" And she tells how the babe, John the Baptist, leapt in her womb as she became filled with the Holy Spirit. If Elizabeth can call her younger cousin, "Mother of my Lord," and the angels salute Mary with the word "Hail," how much should we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary? As blessed as Mary was, she was not without suffering. In the gospel, we get only a small idea of how much she suffered. She said yes to the angel and conceived a son by the power of the Holy Spirit, but Joseph, her betrothed, did not understand. She must have suffered the rejection of this man whom she loved. Naturally, she would have felt alone or abandoned. It was only when God revealed to Joseph in a dream that Joseph accepted Mary as his wife. With the support of Saint Joseph, she could face any trials, like the flight into Egypt, even though it would not be easy. We should thank Mary for all of this. Mary teaches us how to deal with our sufferings, that is, with complete and total trust in God. Pope Benedict speaks about this in one of his encyclicals. He notes that for over 1,000 years, Christians have greeted Mary as Star of the Sea. In former days, mariners used the stars to guide them home. As the Pope observes, the true stars of our lives are the people who have lived good, holy lives. Along with Jesus, Mary is the greatest guide for our journey home. Mary is a great example for our lives. She is the star that guides us to Jesus. In these final days of Advent, we walk with her, with the unborn child, with Saint Joseph, and let us go with them to Bethlehem, to the manger. And this is a good moment for us to thank Mary for all that she did and all that she would suffer. But we not only admire and thank Mary, we also need her help. She is a powerful intercessor. One of the good things we can do this time of year is to help our fellow Christians to see the important role of Mary in our lives. I heard about a priest who did this in an amusing way. A Protestant congregation invited him to give a presentation. Their only requirement was that he stick to the Bible and not bring any Catholic superstitions about Mary. He promised to those guidelines. The priest began his talk by asking them to read aloud a couple of scripture verses. He told them to find Luke chapter 1, verse 28 and 42. They opened their King James Bibles and read with him, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Then, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." He encouraged them to make those verses part of their daily prayer. And so should we. On this final Sunday of Advent, we focus on the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the greatest boast of our human race and the intercessor that we all need. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Amen.